you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Right now at Chicago.SunTimes.com, it's the latest episode of the Fran Spielman Show. Throughout the last few weeks, Fran has had our Cook County State's Attorney candidates on the program. This week, more of the same. Fran welcomed one Bob Fioretti to the studio. Here's a little bit of that.
I have advocated for victims' rights. I've advocated for the wrongfully incarcerated. I have an understanding of our criminal justice system, our tax system, our civil system. I believe I'm much better satisfied and suited for this office than either one of the three candidates that are running.
All right, and that's all you get. All right, now you got to go to the Chicago Sun-Times website, find the Fran Spielman podcast, and go download it. Get informed on our Cook County State's Attorney candidates. She spoke with Donna Moore last week. This week, Bob Fioretti. Oh, she also spoke with Bill Conway a couple weeks back as well. It's the Fran Spielman Show every week at the Chicago Sun-Times website or wherever else you download your favorite podcast. Hour number two of your Ben Jarofsky Show is just moments away. But before we get into that, well, we got to thank the following unions once again for jumping on board and sponsoring this humble little program that we have. Unions like the International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers, Local 126 in District 8, the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, Local 9, are sponsors, as well as the International Union of Operating Engineers, Local 150. Unions, can't thank you enough. Couldn't do it without you. And of course, today's program is brought to you by our good friends at the Chicago Federation of Labor. Hour number two, let's go. Thursday, February 20th. And live from the Chicago Sun-Times, Chicago Reader Studio on Racine Avenue, this is the Ben Jarofsky Show. In this hour of the program, union man Don Villar makes his return, and we welcome Danica McMillan. And now your host, he is indeed not feeling the berg. Chicago Reader columnist Ben Jarofsky.
Not feeling the berg, absolutely not. Not feeling the berg at all. But you know what? I said it once. I said, Don Villar, I said if Michael Bloomberg is the nominee, I'll vote for him over Donald John Trump. I'm not, you know, that much of an extremist. I will vote for Bloomberg over Trump with the hopes, as Bronco pointed out, that the left can force Bloomberg to make accommodations that he probably wouldn't make on his own.
Mm-hmm. You know what? Right now, the AFL-CIO, we're taking guidance from them, and they're staying out of it until the primary, until after the convention. So I might have an opinion, but I think can't say, can't throw anything on in one favor or another. But yeah, I do concur. Bloomberg was a little rough last
night. Oh, my God. We've been talking about that all day. You got an update, D?
Our Facebook friends have been weighing in on it as well. Last night was that debate. Oh, how about that Bloomberg, huh? If you were a Bloomberg fan before that debate, well, you're hiding today.
Come on out, guys. Yeah. Where are you?
Yeah, the question posted on our Facebook page, who won, who lost, and who else feels they need to take a cold shower after last night's debate? A few of you have weighed in. We'll read your responses now. Shout out to our good friend, Alan. Alan's been with us since the radio days, Ben Jarofsky.
Ah, the good old radio days.
Yeah. Before you're fired.
Yeah.
Oh. All right. Alan says, Bernie came out looking pretty good. Warren took out Bloomberg early, and nobody else really stood out. What do you think about that?
I think that Elizabeth Warren really stood out. I think it was Elizabeth Warren's night. She killed it. And I say this as a guy, remember, Bernie was my number one choice, still is my number one choice, but I thought Elizabeth Warren did great. And I've been throwing this theory out to everybody I bump into in the hallways, might as well throw it out to everybody out there. If it's a brokered convention, I think Elizabeth Warren is making a case that she's the compromise candidate and Castro would be her running mate. There you go. You heard it first, Don Villar, wow. Right here on this show. Lenny's nodding her head going, I can get into that. That's my humble opinion. That's how strong Elizabeth Warren did it last night.
Shout out to our Facebook friend, Shannon. Shannon says, Warren with the best comeback since Muhammad Ali busted Jerry Quarry for a third round TKO after a 3.5 year layoff. She skinned Bloomberg alive.
Wait a minute. Time out. Who said this?
They know- Shannon.
Shannon, I love you, Shannon. You know about Muhammad Ali? Wow. I was thinking, you know what's funny? I was doing a boxing metaphor in my mind. Don, are you a boxing fan?
You know, I've watched it a couple times, sure.
Do you remember when Ali beat Foreman in 1974, I want to say it was, in a fight in Africa?
Oh, yeah.
And Cosell was doing it. George Foreman is down, George. Anyway, that's what I thought last night. I thought Elizabeth Warren was Muhammad Ali and Michael Bloomberg was George Foreman.
Millennials, hang tight. All right, shout out to Don. Not Don Villar. It's another Don.
Another Don out there.
Don says, sorry to say. Now, this is the first time I've heard this opinion. Don says, sorry to say, Bloomberg won. Got slathered with crap, took the hit. Money will buy Teflon.
Hey, man, I like to smoke what he's smoking.
What channel was he watching?
Yeah, man.
Well, he's one of these no such thing as bad publicity guys, I guess.
Yeah. Well, they all got publicity. I mean, and the other people needed the publicity more than Bloomberg. Bloomberg's got about $300 million worth of ads. By the way, you know, we'll take your money. You could drop an ad right here in the Ben Jarofsky show.
I got to pay rent, man.
That's right.
Yeah. Call Lenny. She'll take your money. Come on, Bloomberg. What are we, chopped liver? We'll take your money.
Marguerite weighed in. She said, hey, can Pete go rescue the Boy Scouts or do something useful?
Oh, man, Pete Buttigieg. I thought Amy Klobuchar got the better of him in that.
Cleaned his clock.
Oh, you think you're so smart. You know, because she didn't know the name of the Mexican. Everybody, the Mexican president of Mexico. Look. We all stumble, folks. We're not machines, all right? You know, my memory, Don, the older I get, I lose track of things.
You and me both.
Yeah. You know, I was talking to Nika on the phone earlier today, and she was talking about her race in Naperville, and I was, like, trying to remember names from DuPage County, and I couldn't do it. Of course, it was 40 years ago. I was trying to come up with these. Bertie Klein, it was his name. He was a civil rights activist in DuPage County. But anyway, the point is, he, you know, sometimes Pete tries, is too smart for his own good, Don Villar. You know what I'm saying? So last night was one of those moments where he was trying to undercut Amy Klobuchar. She goes, are you saying I'm dumb? I thought a lot of people could, like, you know what I mean? Feel that.
They could relate to it. That was a really good moment there. I mean, she really took him out there. That retort was like, whoa, you didn't expect that.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, so. I'm Amy's not in my top three, but I applauded that. Oh, yeah, you're going to make fun of me because I stumbled at a moment. You think you're so smart? And he was like,
Feel free to weigh in with your thoughts on the Ben Jarofsky Show Facebook page at Benny J Show, BENNY, the letter J Show, also on Twitter as well. And we'll do one more comment here. Layla commented here, and please, Michael Buffer, do not sue us. Layla says, let's get ready to rumble.
I guess millennials would know that.
Absolutely.
You know, more boxing references.
It was in Vegas, wasn't it?
It was in Vegas. Very good. To Don Villar showing. He knows a thing or two about the fighting game.
There you go.
All right. Thank you very much, Dee. That's some good stuff from our listeners. Don Villar, we already talked about the debate. Let's move on and talk about J.B. Pritzker's budget. We haven't, you know, it kind of got lost in the shuffle. I'm going to ask you eventually about Blago, and you're an old newsman. We have some fun with that one. Your general thoughts on J.B. Pritzker's budget.
You know, he's coming off a great year last year. I mean, just getting everything together, having a balance. I mean, having a budget passed for the first time in, you know, 2-3 years, and just having consensus to some extent, right? And the capital spending projects, the capital bill, that's doing great. It's putting a lot of people to work, and he's earmarking more monies towards apprentice programs, towards job readiness, job training. So, yeah, from the labor movement's perspective, he's doing great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's putting people to work. He's promoting some of these major projects, that long needed projects in the state. Infrastructure improvements, and it's so much. We've got a lot. There's a lot ahead, and I see more improvements going down the road. So I mean, it was really appreciated his address yesterday, hitting all the marks.
Well, one of the things that didn't get accentuated much in the coverage, because they were talking about the budget ploys making about fair tax, and we'll get to all that,
right?
Was the fact that he's the beneficiary, in my humble opinion, of widespread approval for the legalization of marijuana.
Oh yeah.
And so he talked about that, how the, you know, they always talk about it in terms of the money it's bringing in. I always talk about it in terms of how unfair the law was, and how mainly black people got punished for it, and everybody was smoking it. So I don't know how as a society we could have tolerated that for so many years, that just gross inequity right in our face. But I do believe that Pritzker will be riding public support in that. He'll be the beneficiary for a long time, because I do believe that it's a very popular initiative in the state of Illinois.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, what were the reports the first day? $30-40 million in pot sales first day.
Yeah.
And it's continuing on, and we have a pot shortage all of a sudden.
Pot shortage.
So that's going to be, UFCW, they recently reunionized one of the production houses, pot production. And actually, all this production facilities, they have to stay in Illinois because you can't cross state borders. You can't be importing this pot from out. It's still illegal to import the pot in.
Oh, and Don, we need to ask you the Ben Jarofsky Show reefer question. You got any? Weed?
Yeah, now you don't have to say, hey, that's where I hide my weed.
Don Villar has never inhaled. No. I love the, like, there's a an Illinois element to it all. Because, you know, the standard line by the right, Rauner, Tribune's editorial page, is that people are fleeing the state of Illinois. This is their standard line. But because do we have too many unions? We have too many, too much pension obligations, and our taxes are too high, and that's why people are fleeing the state of Illinois. That's the standard line they use. And now here people are coming now. We got reefer, so you know,
yeah.
People coming in from Iowa and Indiana, etc.
Wisconsin, yeah. I mean, think of all the border dispensaries, right? How they're going to? They're probably going gangbusters right now, right?
Except they're out of bud right now. So come on, let's go, farmers.
Yeah,
get to work,
grow that stuff.
All right, but really, what was embedded in that budget address was sort of a threat, if you will, and it has to do with the Fair Tax Initiative. I'm a big supporter of the Fair Tax Initiative. Love to hear what our next guests have to say about that. But the Fair Tax Initiative is the one, just to remind everybody, in which we would change the rates so that the wealthier you are, you would pay a higher rate on your state income tax. We have a flat tax right now in the state of Illinois. I think that's exceedingly unfair. It's not progressive in any way. It's regressive, because why would you would tax Pritzker and Rauner at the same rate as Dennis and Ben and,
it doesn't make sense.
And Don Villar. Yeah. So, it doesn't make any sense. Yeah. But what he embedded,
he slipped that in there.
He goes, listen, all right, you pass the fair tax, I'm going to have more money for education. You don't pass the fair tax, going to have to make some cuts. The Republicans are crying. Mm-mm, they're crying like little babies. What was your reaction to that one, Don?
I concur with that. I mean, I think, look, we're pushing hard on the fair tax. I think that's something, that's a big push that everybody's behind, because it impacts so many people, so many workers, so many jobs. So I get what he's trying. I heard that as well. And at the end of the day, let's just, let's focus on passing that referendum in November. The other side, they're pushing on the other. They're pushing hard on the other end, right?
Oh, yeah,
because they want to see another austerity policy. Austerity government, austerity budget and cuts, that's what they're working hard on their side. But I think, hopefully, like you said, riding that the goodwill of that good weed will and and everything else. And I mean, so far he's been a good chief executive of the state his first year. He knocked it out of the ballpark, and just keep that going.
All right, we'll be following that fair tax one down the road. That'll kind of be lost in the shuffle. It'll be on the ballot in November, and it has to pass with over 60% of the vote. So it's not going to be an easy thing. Yeah. And it will be lost in the weeds, lost in the shuffle, I should say, of the presidential battle.
Right. That's why it's going to be important to get, strong turnout come November.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be critical. So somebody will electrify especially if you have a good Democrat that comes out really gets turnout up.
All right, you're telling me something about an initiative having to do with the temp economy. Get into that a little
well,
bit.
Well, you know, actually earlier this week on President's Day, we are working with a lot of our worker centers. We put together a video, actually a six-part docuseries on the perma-temping, and just the plight of a lot of the workers in the state. One out of three workers in Illinois and Chicago classify as contingent. So they're temps, part-time, freelancers, independent contractors, one out of three. And because of the way the laws have been written, the way the laws, things have been going on, I mean, they don't have many rights. And they're subject to so many abuses and discrimination. And there's just so many issues that they're facing that because of the growth of the temp economy, the gig economy and the temp industry in this state, it's being felt on their back. So there's a docuseries that we put together working with a Chicago Workers Collaborative and some other groups, Warehouse Workers for Justice and Raise the Floor Alliance. Just talking about the plight these people are going through.
Is there any specific legislation that's being proposed?
Not yet. I mean, there's stuff that, there's stuff that's out there that, you know, maybe mirroring something along the what California passed. But you know what? I don't have that in front of me right now. I mean, there's a lot of talk about it, but so far nothing has been put to paper, I don't believe. But I'll have to find out, you know. But that's something I think we need in the state. And I mean, the other thing we're working on is at least we've got some great temp worker laws in this state that the legislature has passed, but the problem is enforcement. And you know, before Governor Pritzker took office, we had a Department of Labor, an agency that wasn't looking out for labor. They weren't enforcing a lot of the temp laws. Because like every temp agency operating in Illinois, they're supposed to register with the state. And the vast majority of them were not, during Rauner's administration, they weren't registered. The vast majority. So now, Governor Pritzker's administration, his director, the Labor Department, they're working on that and sort of correcting that. And that's some of the issues that need to be addressed because that wasn't addressed during the 4 years of Rauner.
All right. Now, let me talk a little bit about Blago before I let you go. Get out of here. Bring Danica McMillan on our next guest. You're an old news guy.
Yeah.
Folks know this. He works for Federation Labor now, but back in the day, you were a news writer for ABC,
yeah,
I want to say, right?
On the morning show.
On the morning show. Had to get up early. I don't know how you did that. Excellent column. I got to give a shout out to Mark Brown. He had a lot of fun with this. Mark Brown, the political writer for many years here at the Chicago Sun-Times, and he went out to Blagojevich's house to hang out with the crowd. Blago came out and met the people in his first day back. This guy's unbelievable. I just say this, Don Villar. Guy spent 8 years behind in a federal lockup, comes out within a day. He's like flawless oration. You know
wow.
what I mean? I know.
Yeah.
He's got a huge future in radio.
It'll
be right-wing radio,
right, yeah.
But he has a huge future. But anyway, here's what Mark Brown wrote. He concluded his column. He's talking about the utter madness of the scene where everybody's showing up to shake hands with Blagojevich. And then he writes this. On Tuesday, I implored Blagojevich to just go away quietly and leave us in peace. And I don't count anything he does in this first week against him in that regard. We wouldn't leave him alone, even if he begged. There were more reporters on that lawn than covering J.B. Pritzker's budget address in Springfield. That's on us, of course, and I apologize on behalf of the profession, but it's hard to turn away when the circus comes back to town. That's pretty clever.
Oh, he hit the nail right on the head there. I mean, that yesterday morning, I was actually at City Hall for a press conference in support of a legislation the nurses are pushing. And there was just two cameras there and one or two reporters. And one of the reporters is a good friend of mine from my old TV days. And I asked him, why aren't you out there in the circus? But you're right. That's one of the things. It's like it took away all the attention. I mean, even, you know, I had the TV in my office later. Like, whoa, you know, you couldn't stop. It's like a car wreck, right?
Yes.
You can't take your eyes away. And that's the problem with that. And But it sort of reminded me just the scrum and the circus, like what it was like in the new back in the day in the newsroom in 2008 when he got hauled away in cuffs from his home, and then in 2010 when he was it 2010 when he was sent to
2010 or I can't remember, yeah, I lost track of time.
2011. Oh yeah, 2012. Yeah, 2012.
Yeah,
2012 when he was hauled away to Florence, Colorado, and the circus behind that. And you know, you're an old, you understand news, and sometimes it's that those big stories that sort of get us going in the morning. You know, it's tough to do, but sometimes that's what feeds news people.
No, look, I'm going to say this. I'll put this out here. When I listen to J.B. Pritzker and Mayor Lori Lightfoot, they reporters ask about Blagojevich and they do this side thing. This is like standard 101 of what an incumbent Democratic politician has to do, Don. So you have to sort of sigh and go, all right, I'll answer your question once, like this beneath my dignity to talk about something that absolutely everyone in the universe is talking about. I'll answer it once. That's the only time I'm going to answer it. And da 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 da. And they rip Blagojevich, as they should. Blagojevich is a con artist, et cetera, and so forth.
Not defending him.
Yeah, I'm not defending him either. But I'm going to put this out here right now. If you think this is the last we've seen of Rod Blagojevich, you're crazy. He's cut a deal with Donald Trump. That's part of the reason why Donald Trump let him out of federal prison. And his job will be go on the road for the next 6 months pushing Donald Trump, trying to link Donald Trump to like great liberators of our time. If anybody's convinced by this, I feel sorry for them. But that's what he's going to do, Don Villar. You know it. We've not heard the last of Blagojevich.
We haven't heard the last of him. And, I mean, right now he's looking. He says he's unemployed. He's looking for a job. He's got to support his family somehow. So we'll see where that job lands him. Who's going to be hiring?
Yes, we'll see who's. I guess we'll have to watch the statements, the financial statements coming out of the Donald Trump campaign to see if any consultant fees are getting their way to Rod Blagojevich. All right, Don Villar, any last messages you want to make before I let you go out the door and bring on Danica McMillan?
You know what? The other thing is the census. Don't forget the census, folks. April 1st, the census starts. It goes till till the end of July. But so much is at stake, and especially for the labor movement, because a lot of the federal dollars that come into Illinois, they support jobs and workers, and that's so critical. An undercount means a loss in the potential federal funding, whether it's education, social service, or infrastructure. So those are the things that, you know, we're working on to make sure everybody's counted.
Absolutely. All right, we'll be talking about that more in the coming weeks. Because that's very important. Don Villar, thank you very much. Chicago Federation of Labor. Danica McMillan's on deck. We're going to bring her on when we return.
Read the Chicago Reader to get up to speed on what's what in Chicago. Culture, food, arts and entertainment, weekly concert listings, weekly event listings, the environment, travel. I can continue, but you get the point. And for all of you Chicago political junkies, raw weekly columns on real city politics from Maya Dukmasova and our very own Ben Jarofsky. The Chicago Reader, free to the public in newsstands throughout the city and online at chicagoreader.com. Read it now and be a more informed Chicagoan.
Did you know that 40% of the people in Illinois opt to be cremated? Well, it's true. And Chicagoland Cremation Options honors their wishes by providing cremation services directly to the general public. Chicagoland Cremation Options provides an affordable, ethical, and easy cremation arrangement, whether in person or online. Save thousands and streamline the process by going directly to Chicagoland Cremation Options. It's a family-owned business operated by my good friend, Douglas Klein. Here's how you reach them. Chicagoland Cremation Options.com. One more time. Chicagoland Cremation Options.com.
It's Chicagoland's adult entertainment playground. It's the world famous Admiral Theater, 3940 West Lawrence Avenue. The Admiral is homegrown from Chicago, and it's the most conveniently located club in all of the city. 15 minutes from the O'Hare Airport in downtown Chicago Loop. Voted Chicago's best strip club, the Admiral has showgirls galore and a variety of adult entertainment shows. The world-famous Admiral Theater. Open every day from 7 p.m. to 6 a.m. 3940 West Lawrence Avenue. For events, showtime, and other information, visit AdmiralX.com. Must be 18 years of age or older to enter.
So again, on behalf of Patty and Amy and Annie and me, we want to again express our deepest gratitude to President Trump. Like I said, as a Republican president and a Democratic governor, he didn't have to do this. But President Trump is not a typical politician.
That's right.
He's tough. He's outspoken. He gets things done. He's a problem solver in a business where too many politicians don't want to solve problems. All they want to do is play politics and get nothing done for the people. I'm a Trumpocrat.
The Trumpocrat, that's right.
Eroding beaches on Chicago's lakefront, warmer winters in the upper Midwest, microplastics in our water. What can any one person do? Our best hope for saving the planet and ourselves is through the power of we. Get to the 9th annual One Earth Film Festival, the Midwest's premier environmental film festival, March 6th through the 15th. 26 films, 48 events, 4 counties engage with filmmakers and experts. Venues include Tesla Gold Coast, Loyola University, Plant Chicago, Old St. Patrick's Church, the Chicago Cultural Center, Lake Theater in Oak Park, and much more. Go to OneEarthFilmFest.org. One more time, OneEarthFilmFest.org.
Hey, welcome back to the Ben Jarofsky Show. Live from the Chicago Sun-Times.
Lenny from The Reader, the pride and joy of Indivisible Chicago, is here to introduce our next guest. Before we bring Lenny on, D, you got an update?
Absolutely, I do. Shout out to CapitalFacts.com and the meanest Illinois political bulldog in the yard, Rich Miller.
What do you do now?
Well, first off, it's hilarious. At the top of CapitalFacts.com, a Bloomberg ad.
Hey, Mike, I said it already. Her name is Lenny. Give her a call. We'll take your money.
All right. So Rob Blagojevich, former Illinois governor, has been out of prison for what? Not even 48 hours, right?
I don't think it's 48 hours.
Well, not even 48 hours in, and he's already starting beef with our current governor. The following comes from Capital Facts here. Well, and NBC5, Carol Maureen caught up with Rob Blagojevich, the brother of the former governor.
Robert.
Mm-hmm. Shame on J.B. Pritzker for not being a friend and for not being an honorable person. He wanted something from my brother, and when he didn't get it, now he's moved on and he's now bitter against my brother.
I don't think he's bitter. I don't think that's the right word that accurately summarizes. I think cynical. Yes, absolutely. Everybody was calling up Rob Blagojevich, who was the governor, and Rahm Emanuel was one of them. They were looking for something for him. He's the governor. He had something to give. He had nominations. He could fill a vacancy.
And hey, Mama Blagojevich, can we get a different name? Rob and Rob, too similar. Confused me while I was reading this. Like, wait, Rob.
Yeah.
And then there's Rod.
So bitter is not the word. Cynical is the word. Yeah, not that that's any better.
It says here, Rob Blagojevich's brother told us, told NBC5 yesterday, you were his friend and you wanted the Senate seat, and now you're not his friend. And what's your reaction to that? He says it's not a big deal, but Pritzker didn't want the Senate seat. He wanted to be appointed treasurer. And it says here, that's all we got there.
It was, they weren't friends. They weren't like on play dates. They didn't go to the park and play catch. That's a friend, okay? Dennis is my friend. You know, that's a friend.
Ben, okay. That was nice. You're my friend, too.
They're not friends. It's political alliances. They're wheeling and dealing. Come on, Rob Blagojevich.
And hey, I just want to remind everybody right now at chicago.suntimes.com, chicagoreader.com, and wherever else you download your favorite podcast, it's the latest edition of Ben Jarofsky Beyond the Column, where we take a deep dive in this week's column from Ben Jarofsky, all about Michael Bloomberg.
The wit and wisdom of Michael Bloomberg.
How apropos. So,
wait, hold on, D. I've just been pitching for his money, and I just realized I wrote a very critical column about him, Lenny. Oops. I take it all back.
That's never happened before, huh, Ben?
No.
All right, go find that. Go download it. If you read the column, even if you haven't read the column, go check it out. Find out what it's about. And also, we take a deep dive into Ben Jarofsky column past. Learn about a column all the way back in 1995. The hair days, Ben calls them. So go check it out wherever you download podcasts, Chicago Reader, Chicago Sun-Times website.
Our next guest just was 1 year out of Whitney Young High School back in 1995. So think about that, everybody.
That's correct.
How old I am. Been right at this for a long time. All right, Lenny, before we introduce our next guest, talk about the latest from Indivisible Chicago.
Yeah, well, before that, really, seriously, I am from the Chicago Reader, L-E-N-I, at chicagoreader.com. So support independent news media and the Chicago Reader. And give me a call if you want to advertise on the Ben Jarofsky Show or in print or in social media or online or digital. So give me a call. So Indivisible, so we are part of the Indivisible grassroots movement, and we've been here since 2016. A lot of us stepped up, you know, after the women's marches, and there's a lot going on. So three things that we're doing this year is we are holding the House, we're flipping the Senate, and we're going to fire Donald Trump. But we know that local races matter. So, for instance, yesterday we were at the Cook County office for an early vote rally for Kim Fox. We need to get her elected. We're also endorsing Marie Newman in the 3rd District. In case you missed it, we were there on Monday in Dan Lipinski's district in front of his office on the 17th, and we got coverage from Fox, WGN, NBC about our day of action there. We were demanding that Dan Lipinski donate nearly $60,000 in contributions from Mayor Jeff Tobolsky, the Asphalt King Michael Vondra, Exelon, and others caught up in the federal corruption probe to donate his dark money back to an ethical group that's working towards bettering the 3rd District. I'll just stop there. We're also looking forward to other Indivisible events, such as the one that's coming up that's on the Monday, February 24th. That's at the Second Presbyterian Church. That's 1936 South Michigan. It's a candidates forum. Mm-hmm. And you've had many of these on your show. Anthony Clark, Keena Collins, Danny Davis, Christine Schonbacher. That's Monday, February 24th from 7 to 9. The moderator is going to be League of Women Voters and Indivisible groups, including Indivisible Printers Row. South Loop Neighbors, Greater South Loop Association, will co-sponsor the event. Early voting has started in Illinois. If you don't know where to go, go to elections.il.gov to figure out exactly where your polling place is and where to go. You could find your sample ballot at Ballotopedia or the League of Women Voters. You know that judges are really important right now in our 9th District, Illinois, Indivisible Illinois 9th District group. Just today, we had our committee person, Carol Ronan, there, who introduced two candidates, Brad Trowbridge in the 8th Sub-Circuit, and also Jill Rose Quinn. If Jill Rose Quinn gets elected, she would be the first openly trans elected official in Illinois. So check that out. You can go to chicagocouncil.org to find out the state judicial evaluations to because there are a lot on the ballot.
It's overwhelming. It's overwhelming sometimes.
It is overwhelming sometimes, which is the reason why we want to point to it. And we know that, you know, representation matters. People are talking about Bloomberg and his 2019 comment about he, she, or it.
Mm-hmm.
That's a thing. But I will take your money.
Lenny said that.
ChicagoReader.com.
Wait, one more time. Lenny where?
Lenny at ChicagoReader.com.
All right, Bloomberg. Come on, huh?
So I'm happy to be here today to talk to an Indivisible leader from Naperville.
All right, Indivisible leader from Naperville. Are you going to introduce her, Lenny?
Well, you.
Oh, I say, Danica McMillan, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
And you are running. We'll start off with the lead. You are running for state representative. What is the district?
District 41.
District 41. And give people a rough sense of where District 41 is, what towns it includes, that kind of thing.
Okay. So it's the western suburbs, Naperville, Warrenville, and pretty sure a little bit of Bolingbrook.
All right. And the incumbent is?
Grant Worley.
And Grant Worley is a Republican, person of the Republican persuasion. Am I correct on that?
This is correct.
All right. And is he a person of the, I would say, Trumpian, right-wing Republican persuasion?
Yes.
All right. So there you go, folks. That's who she's up against. You're running in Naperville. You're running in the 41st Legislative District. But before you got to Naperville, before you got to the 41st Legislative District, you had a life and an existence. So to introduce people to you, Danica McMillan, tell folks like where you're from, where you grew up, that kind of thing.
Well, I am originally from Chicago, born and raised on the west side of Chicago. Actually, the first generation in my family, born in Chicago because my family's from Mississippi, and were sharecroppers before they came here. So went to Whitney Young High School, graduated in 94. We have quite a few 94 graduates that stick out. Kenneth Polk, who owns Berries and Batters, that restaurant.
On Lincoln Avenue?
Is it Lincoln? Yeah.
Yes. I've been there. He's a Whitney Young grad?
94, yes. His birthday is today, actually. Michael Scott, the alderman.
The alderman Michael Scott, son of, it's Michael Scott Jr., but whatever. He was class of 94. Okay, sorry. I didn't know he was 94, huh? God damn, am I old. Go ahead, Danica.
Also, the show Southside, that's on Comedy Central.
Uh-huh.
Bashir, he graduated in 94 from Whitney Young. The South Side is a show that talks about living on the South Side of Chicago and deals with, I think it's a like a, what do you call it? Like a rent-a-center type of show. As well as women who have graduated from in 94. Maisha Nguyen, she's the one who had this transformation. She was overweight and now she's, it's called In It to Win It, I think, or something like that. And so, yeah, that there's other people, but those
well, you
are
know
the
what?
Ones.
I just a tangent within a tangent, but I have to share this with you. So all those years, and whenever I go to O'Hare and I get my luggage and you go down that People's Mover, and the people, you guys both looking at me like I'm crazy, but there's a People's Mover in O'Hare, and I think it's, yeah, you already have your luggage, and I think you're, it's the People's Mover that takes you to where the trains are, all right? So do you know what I'm talking about? In the basement of, anyway, the mural on the wall that the People Movers take you by is a picture, scenes of Chicago, and I always, I look at it every time I'm at O'Hare, I go, I fly out of O'Hare maybe twice a year, and so I always, it's Whitney Young, class of 95, I want to say. So I don't know if you were one of the young artist scholars who painted that.
No, I'm not.
I mean, but there's a young kid in those days, but now he's a young man. Well, he's not that young, but to me, he's young. He's a teacher, but he was an official with the Chicago Teachers Union, Jackson Potter. And I always see Jackson's name up there, and I'm like, oh, my God, I could just imagine young Jackson Potter and these Whitney Young kids, you know, back in 1994 with their art teacher painting this mural. Anyway, so that's my, you just said, we just started talking about the Whitney Young class in 94. That's what flashed on that People Mover going through. But you were not one of them, huh?
Not 94. I mean, not 95. And plus, I'm not an artist.
Okay. All right. But you are running for office now. What's your background before you got here, after you graduated from high school, et cetera?
So I went to U of I and got my bachelor's degree in psychology, minor in women's studies. Then I went to University of Michigan and got a master's degree in social work. And basically since that time, I've been a social worker. So over 20 years of social work, and that's encompassed working with the homeless population, working with women and children in shelters, working with women and children infected in, or affected by HIV and AIDS. Gosh, I think I've done just about everything. I've worked in CHA housing. You know, part of the Family Works program where they first tried to introduce mental health services to the residents who were living in the building during the transformation.
When they were moving people out of the CHA housing and tearing down the housing?
Yes.
I did not realize this. The CHA actually provided some kind of counseling, some kind of therapy so people could deal with the changes in their lives?
It was something like that. Before, it was called the Service Connector Program, and then Family Works was a combination of having mental health services, residential, and then employment. So they were trying to, I think, create some kind of basis for people to move forward in life. But you have to really think that people living in public housing, just basically anywhere, but especially in public housing, all the violence that people saw and how that affects them. And so then we talk about substance abuse and why are people doing this? If you've seen some of the horrors that people have gone through or kids walking to school and seeing people dead on the street, yeah, this is why people do that. It's a coping mechanism. Mm-hmm. It's not necessarily the best one, but it's something to try to help them continue on.
Danica, this is one of my favorite themes and subjects, if you will, and feel free to disagree with me about this, but I'm going to say it anyway. Life is tough, man. Every one of us is going through all issues. Obviously, some people have it far worse than others, okay? Yes. I do not put myself at the top of the list of people who have it bad. But we all deal with stuff. We all need help and assistance of some kind. But there's this notion that, like, we don't talk about it. You know, it's a private thing. So if you have money, you go pay for your private counselor, you go pay for your private social worker, and you don't talk about it, you just go do your thing. So if you don't have money and you can't afford it, then you have to appeal to the government. But it seems like the government's attitude is like, this doesn't exist. Do you follow what I'm saying? So there's never any strong push for expanded mental health care for poor people. And then when there's just like a shooting or something, you know, the Republicans will, when it gets to the issue of guns, they'll say, well, the issue is not guns. The issue is mental health. The person was mentally unstable. And that drops it because they don't take the next step and say, oh, we're going to provide more money for social clinics or anything. So it just always, I mean, I've lived through this all these years in the city of Chicago where Rahm was closing the clinics when he first got in and patting himself on the back as being a great reformer and saving money and not even thinking of the consequences of people on the street. I think this is a serious problem in our country right now. Everything I just said about this, the attitude about mental health services and our reluctance, our resistance, if you will, to funding mental health care for the poor. Do you agree with me?
Yeah. People try to ignore it or make it seem like it's a bad thing. It's an everyday thing. You know, when it comes to mental health disorders, anxiety is actually at the top. But people don't talk about, you know, oh, you're just worried. You know, but people actually have physical symptoms from anxiety. They have panic attacks. You know, you have people going into hospitals thinking that they're having heart attacks when it's really just a panic attack that's really sending them there. And so unless they get that addressed, it's going to continue to happen. And, you know, one of the best things for mental health treatment is therapy as well as medication. Those two together work well.
So how did you move from your career as a therapist doing so much work in the city of Chicago to a resident of DuPage County where you're now running for state rep?
Well, I have kids. And I have a daughter who's almost 12, and then I have twin boys. And it was paying basically a mortgage to send the twin boys to preschool. So we're like, okay, when they get older, we're going to have to go someplace where there's a good education as well as it's free in some way. So we actually just landed in Naperville in June of 2016. It wasn't our plan at all. But we were there, and, you know, one thing about me is whenever I go somewhere, I try to see what's going on and be active. And, you know, of course, that was an election year and all that stuff happened. My kids were heavily involved in the election. They watched the debates with us. They watched the convention. So they were, like, really into it.
How old are your kids?
Well, then,
yeah.
Six and eight?
Six-year-old watching it. Well, okay. That's
well, last night, one of them wanted to watch the debate with me, but he had to go to sleep.
No. too bad. I feel for that. What's with the, the 12 by now? Is that how old the kid is? What?
No, the twins are nine.
Oh, okay. So the nine-year-old wanted to stay. Well, I feel sorry for the nine-year-old, who, boy or girl. You missed a good one last night.
Oh, yeah.
That was a heck of a debate. And so you moved out to Naperville,
mm-hmm.
Do you work in the city? Do you have to commute into the city?
So I was working in the city, and then what I did was I started working part-time in a private practice in Oak Park, mm-hmm. and then from there I just opened my own practice in Bolingbrook. So that's basically what I've been doing. As far as my involvement in DuPage County, you know, someone told me about, oh, there's this Parent Diversity Council. You should go to this meeting. So since that time, I had been involved with the Naperville District 203 Parent Diversity Advisory Council. And then from there, you know, heard about Indivisible. And then it was just different things that just kept coming up. And I was interested in it because basically my whole life, I've always wanted to work with people and people who didn't necessarily have everything that they needed. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily wanted, but needed. And you know, the different organizations, they were welcoming. And so I went and I actually found out about there's precinct committee people. You know, in Chicago, I don't know if they exist, but that was my first time hearing about that.
Precinct captains, so they call them in Chicago.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so I joined the precinct. I joined the township, and then, you know, talking about that, I said, hey, I wouldn't mind doing that. And there was not one in my district. So I was basically appointed. And I don't think there has ever been a Democratic precinct committee person in that district.
So you're the person that goes door to door on behalf of Democratic candidates?
Yes.
Did you do that in the 2018 cycle?
Yes.
So who were some of the candidates you went door to door on for in 2018? Do you remember?
Yeah, but I'm only going to name the winners.
Okay. I want a name for the winners in the world. No, they got a name for the winners in the world. I want a name for the losers. Anyway, sorry, went back in time for songs. All right, so who are some of the winners?
Lauren Underwood in 2018, yeah. I did a lot of work with her and a little bit with Sean Kasten.
Yeah.
And I don't think we had anything to really worry about with Bill Foster. So, yeah, but that's also the time that I actually decided that I was going to probably step into politics was the election of 2018.
Now, what was it about 2018 that motivated you to step into politics?
Well, back in, probably August of 2018, there was a candidate who was running as a Democratic nominee. Or the candidate, and something happened where she's redistricted, and she basically had to drop out of the race. So we did not have a Democratic nominee to go against the incumbent, who had actually brought this up like 6 weeks before the election. Somehow she was not in the district. Something to do with, I don't know, I don't know what happened. Mm-hmm. But the thing was that if she had won, they wanted to have someone to go in her spot. And at that time, because I knew I lived in the district, I said, I'll do it. She ended up losing by like 4 points.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, that was something that ignited this in my head. Because before, I never thought about going into politics. But to see that injustice happen made me want to go and fight against it.
So this was a Democratic candidate who got bounced off the ballot. Am I understanding this story correctly?
Yes.
And her eligibility was challenged, and she was kicked off the ballot, and so there was no candidate running again. Is that what you're saying? I'm trying to make sure I'm understanding this story correctly.
Yeah, there was no time to put another person in there, I don't think so.
And so who was the beneficiary of this? Who ran, was victorious?
The incumbent now, Grant Worley.
So you said this is never going to happen again. From here on out, Grant Worley is going to have an opposition.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I don't think he had opposition in a while, and I don't think that people were taking this candidate as serious as they should have been. Mm-hmm. And when it got toward the end, they were seeing that there was this drive for change in Naperville. It's not the same Naperville that it used to be. There's a lot more diversity in Naperville. There's a lot more working families. These million-dollar homes or millionaires, you know, it's... I mean, that stuff exists, but that's not all of Naperville. Mm-hmm. There are people who work 2 to 3 jobs trying to make sure that they can continue to support their families and make sure that their kids get a good education.
Now, Danica, so you've been going door to door. What's people's response when you tell them you're running for state rep?
It's been pretty good, especially when I say I'm a social worker. because, you know, just the meaning of going into being a social worker, you know, ethics is a really big thing for me. You know, I always say that, you know, I'm in a profession where I don't make a lot of money. So I've never expected to make a lot of money. So it's kind of joking, but like no one can really bribe me because I'm used to not having money anyway. So, but no, it's about making sure that the people who don't have voices are being heard. You know, in my work in social work, I've listened to a lot of people. I've talked with a lot of people, and I've gotten an idea of what they want, what they need. You know, we talk about taxes, you know, all the time in Naperville. The taxes are so high and, you know, it's going towards the schools. And yes, the state should be paying more to support the schools, but that's just not going to happen right now. And so this is where we are right now. The taxes are high. Our kids are getting the best education in the state. Mm-hmm. So it's like, which one do you want? Do you want to keep your money and not give your kids education?
Wow, and some honesty from a politician. That's not going to get you a lot of votes.
Oh, well.
Fair tax. We were talking with Don Ballard when you were on deck. I don't know if you were hearing us, if you were in the room at the time, about the fair tax. That, of course, would be the it's going to be on the ballot in November. It takes 60% to pass. It would raise the rates on the highest earners in the state of Illinois, bring in more money to fund government to pay our obligations and be more progressive. You know, the higher, more money you make, the higher rate you pay. What's your position on the fair tax?
I support it. I want it to pass. Nothing has worked so far. And if this is a new idea to, and it looks like it's working probably in other states, mm-hmm. you know, nobody is going broke. And for people to actually have to pay the same tax as people who are millionaires, that's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. Unfair.
Yeah,
They were getting at that in last night's presidential debate, which, well, that gets me to this subject. Whenever I have a state rep candidate or state senate candidate or an aldermanic candidate here in Chicago, I ask, well, who do you support? And generally they tell me, well, Ben, you know, I get supporters of all the different candidates, so I really don't want to tell people who I'm supporting because I don't want to alienate any candidate. Fair enough. Okay, you got to win. So what then I do, Danica, is I ask them to take the Ben challenge. So I've already taken it myself on the show. I'll do it again.
Okay.
You're three top. If you can rank them like it's a college football ranking. And Danica's like, oh, Ben, no, she's already resisting. I'm going to make Lenny do the same thing. So my top three at the moment.
Okay, so top three, not necessarily in any kind of particular order.
Okay, you don't even have to do in any particular order. All there right, we go. Good. Fair enough. Lenny's like, you're going to do it too, okay? So your top three, go.
Warren, Sanders, Biden.
Wow, same with me. Those are my top three. Now, if I had to rank them, which I will do, I will personally rank them. My number one is Bernie, but Elizabeth Warren, after last night, Danica, she's knocking on the door. She killed it last night in that mm-hmm. debate. And I love seeing it because I've been disappointed with her campaign over the last month or so. Particularly that last debate where she went after Bernie about their conversation that they allegedly had, private conversation, whatever. But last night, she killed it. So... she's not going to, you know, come on. Joe Biden's, I can't hate on Joe Biden like my millennial friends hate on him so much, but he's just a product of the Democratic Party. You know what I'm saying, Danica? I mean, that's just, he's a Dem. So,
yeah.
Look, Danica,
but I watched it last night, and I think that was my first time actually watching it basically all the way through because I had a headache and I just laid down and watched it. But I just kept feeling like it was WrestleMania.
Yeah.
You know, like people, you didn't know who was going to join the cage next and who was going to get attacked next. So I thought it was fun. It was just a whole bunch of like oohs and ahs and, you know, I enjoyed it.
No, I'm with you. And, you know, many of my centrist friends are always telling me, Ben, you know, you can't be too critical. Party has to be together. We can't criticize each other. And I believe there's, fair criticism in a debate and unfair criticism in a debate. And so, there's a lot of subjectivity, Danica, in saying fair and unfair, because the things that I tend to think are unfair are the ones that I think are unfair to Bernie and Elizabeth Warren, okay? Mm-hmm. I guess the Michael Bloombergs of the world would say, well, that, you know, you're unfair to us too. But for instance, when people report, like that question, the way that was handled a couple of debates ago about the private conversation between Bernie and Elizabeth Warren. I mean, only two people know what was said in that conversation. You know what I'm saying? So for everybody to draw conclusions about it, this is a little unfair. That was just my opinion. I didn't think it's unfair for Elizabeth Warren to go hard at Michael Bloomberg for quotes and positions that he had. Those are quotes and positions he has.
Right.
He has to defend them at some point.
And then I have to wonder, would a man have said that to him? I think it had to come from a woman. About his comments about women.
Yeah.
I don't think a man would have said, you've called women this. A woman had to say that.
Yeah. Do you realize that there was a comparable moment? I don't know if you were paying attention to the 2016 Republican debates. Tanika's like, no, I have a life, Ben. I was paying attention back in 2016. And this actually was in the movie Bombshell. Did you see Bombshell?
No.
You see Bombshell?
No, I haven't.
Oh, Ron Don't Walk. It's a good flick. It was Trump was asked. It was, who asked him? It was a newscaster on Fox. I can't believe I'm blanking on the newscaster's name. Asked him point blank and did what Elizabeth Warren. She ran down the list of all the nasty things.
Oh, it was a woman.
Yes. Help me, man.
A woman from Fox?
Yeah, whatever. I can't believe I can't remember her name.
She had blonde hair.
Yeah. Well, that's really ridiculous. Good thing she's slick. Well, we really.
It's cool, man. Laura Ingraham?
No. Come on. It was Megyn Kelly. Thank you.
Oh.
Yeah. And so Trump's response after she ran down this list of all these awful things he said, because, well, I only said that about Rosie O'Donnell. That's how Trump handled it. And that'll work in the Republican primary. Do you follow what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's not going to get you many votes with that response in a Democratic primary.
Right.
So how'd you think Bloomberg handled it?
I don't know if he did.
Right.
She just went in, and I don't know, what can you say?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll tell you what I thought. He handled it terribly. I'm going to give you advice, Michael Bloomberg. You got to work on that one. You got to think about a better response, Lenny. His basic response was, well, when it got down to it, when she asked him the follow-up question having to do with the non-disclosure agreements, his basic response, well, they were probably reacting to a bad joke. And people were literally groaning when he said that. See, that's not going to work in a Democratic primary. That may work in a Republican primary. Do you follow me?
That's why he's in the wrong race.
Or the wrong party.
People are saying he spent so much money to get his ass whooped.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's another debate. You know, he live and learn. Maybe he can learn from last night's whooping and come back stronger.
We can spend that money to kind of cancel our school debt. I take that.
There are more productive uses of that money, absolutely, than giving it, spending on this campaign. Unless, you know, he rebounds and shows us a little something. Lenny's looking at me like, no way, Ben. But, you know, hey, you know, maybe he learned from yesterday's encounter. Danica, tell folks some of the big issues you're pushing for in your campaign, some of the things you're championing.
Well, obviously, mental health. I feel like it's lacking. You mentioned earlier about like Medicaid and the people who need it the most. It's really hard to actually kind of see some of those people because of the way the system is made up, that you have to jump through so many hoops to get paneled with them. So I'm actually not able to see people with Medicaid. The only time I was able to do that was when I was working in hospital systems. But even within those systems, they only took a certain amount. Mm-hmm. They wanted to deal with people who had regular insurance as opposed to Medicaid and Medicare because of the delays of in the pay. I don't know. But yeah, definitely mental health, substance abuse, which goes along with mental health. You know, a lot of people think that it's a separate issue, but I don't know anybody who is a kid and says, I want to grow up and be a pothead. You know, like there's something that drives somebody. Not that pot is bad. I support marijuana.
Yeah, everybody looks at that. It's 4K.
These are people who, anyway.
Yeah.
The opioid crisis. There you go. But yeah, you know, those things are tied together. And I feel like you have to deal with, there's not necessarily a substance abuse issue with someone who has mental health, but I think that if there's a substance abuse issue, there it might be a mental health issue as well. So that's why I kind of group those together. Also, the CEJA bill that's down in Springfield, the Clean Energy Jobs Act, which can create more jobs, but also get us closer to our renewable energy goals. You know, a lot of people don't talk about the environment, and sometimes you don't have to talk about it before you see it. You know, think about how we've been having the hottest years. Every summer is the hottest summer within the last eight to 10 years, you know. And then last year, I think in Mexico, they got some snow. And then in Canada, they had a heat wave. So I'm just like, you know, the earth is trying to tell us something. Yeah. Maybe we should listen. And then, of course, you know, the Fair Tax Amendment. But, you know, as I've walked through Naperville, and Naperville actually has a lot of homes where the original owners are there. You know, it used to be farms out there. And so I'm talking to some of the seniors, and they talk about how they feel disconnected. You know, how can we help them, or how can we connect them to services that might be beneficial for them? So, yeah, I mean, I'm about the people, and, you know, people who don't necessarily have as much power.
Mm-hmm. Danica, how could people get in touch with you? What's email, website, whatever? Go.
Website is McMillan, McMillen, number 4, U, the letter U, .com. I'm on Facebook, Danica McMillan, the one where it has my picture that is political. I have a couple Facebook accounts. And then email is Danica, D-E-N-I-K-A, at McMillan4U.com.
All right, very good. Danica McMillan, thank you so much for coming in. And Lenny, any last minute thoughts?
And we can't let her off the hook. She's got to pick her three candidates.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't she already pick her?
No,
oh, Lenny! Thank you.
No, you're welcome.
No, I'm for Warren. Warren. Sanders.
And?
I would have to say Biden, you know.
Yeah. Joey's coming back.
He wasn't really present at the debate last.
He was more present than he's been in past debates. And you know what, Lenny? I have a lot of lefties come through this show. And for the longest time, they were bashing Biden, because they were Bernie or Elizabeth Warren supporters, and Biden was the centrist in their way. Now they're bashing Bloomberg because they don't view Biden as... But they always gave me a hard time when I would... Because I always had this strange... I mean, I'm going to not even take the word strange. I've always kind of liked Joe Biden. You know, he's to the right of me, but... I've been following his career since the, good God, the 70s, man. And so anyway, so now it's interesting because Bloomberg's in a race. A lot of people, and Yang's not in a race. A lot of people would have Yang as third. Yeah. I had Yang third for a long time, Danica. So anyway, Biden, I'm watching rise in the polls among my lefty friends. Interesting phenomenon.
Right. But there are still a lot of my moderate friends who are really into Pete. So I think to myself, if I had a choice between Pete and Biden, I'd go for Biden.
Yes, me too. Pete's too young to be so conservative. Like, this is the question I asked him last night. You know, are you pretty... just my attitude about a 38-year-old, I think he's 38 now, who's so moderate. I don't know. Like, when you're young, that's when you should be idealistic. You know, Pete's already 38-year-old, talks like he's 90. Ugh, he can't get that, so don't even ask for that. So it's like... I like Bernie's. Bernie's pushing 80, and his heart is big, you know, and he wants to change the world in a positive way. Pete's 38 years old. He's already given up. Don't ask for too much. You know, you're not going to get it anyway, and settle for less. I have trouble with a young conservative. Are you old enough to remember that TV show? Michael Fox played the young son. His parents were all hippies.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Michael was the conservative.
Family ties.
Family ties, yeah.
God damn, he knows his stuff.
Hey, watch your language.
He knows his...
I was close.
You were close. But, you know, to me, he reminds me of Alex. That's his name.
Alex P. Keaton.
Danica. Danica and Dennis. D.D. So anyway, Mayor Pete reminds me of Alex Keaton. You know what I'm saying? That's just me, Lenny. So anyway,
wait, let me look. Oh, all the millennials stopped listening.
Those millennials love Family Ties. Are you kidding? Well, I love that show. And you know. So any closing thoughts you want to make?
Well, just to remind everybody that the Reader comes out every Thursday in print. So here's a new one. Mm-hmm. And then also there's a weekly activist calendar. Karen Goldman was on the show a couple weeks ago, persistlist.org. You can submit all of your events into there. And just to remind you that this Monday, February 24th at the Second Presbyterian Church, 1936 South Michigan Avenue, that's when the Illinois 7th Congressional District Candidates Forum is going to happen with Anthony Clark, Keena Collins, Danny Davis, and Christine Schaumbacher. And also early voting has started, so a lot of people have already voted that I know. I think it's amazing, but check out elections.il.gov, no matter where you are in Illinois, to find out where your polling place is. And one more thing is Super Tuesday at Promontory with Ben Trotsky.
Oh, my God, how can I forget that? And Maya, man, we're going to have such a great time. Jeanette Taylor will be there. Delmarie Cobb will be there. And Maya and I will be there. And we'll be following the, that's going to be so pivotal. Danica, March 3rd, Super Tuesday. We'll see how strong Bloomberg is. We'll see who's going to be, who's winning over the black vote. We've been waiting for that. All these white states, now we got them out of the way. We could see which way the black vote's going. We've been talking about this forever on this show. Mm-hmm. I'm so excited about that March 3rd Promontory show.
It's 5311 South Lake Park Avenue West. Yeah, it's going to be a good time.
Yes. So I'm really looking forward to that. And yeah, can't wait for that.
Is it free?
I believe it's F-R-E-E, free.
$3.99.
$6. By the way, Lenny, I didn't tell you this. In honor of my beloved reader, I've been writing for the Reader since 1984. A long time. I wore my Reader t-shirt today.
Oh, my God.
Okay. Yeah. Whenever Lenny comes in, I try to wear my Reader t-shirt. So anyway, I love the Reader. All right, Lenny, thank you so much. Danica McMillan, thank you very much. What a show. Don Villar, earlier in the show. And Bronco March Teach. How's that,
D? That was good. Yeah. That was it.
Man, Bronco was good. We're going to have to bring him back. Miles, just saying. No, I'm just kidding, Miles. We love you. Enjoy your vacation in New Orleans. But it was great to have Bronco sitting in. Great show. A lot of political talk. Of course, we couldn't have done it anyway without the man, the myth, the legend behind.
And hey, I'll have you know I haven't smoked weed in 4 days.
Okay. Wow.
Huh?
It's because he doesn't have any. So that's why we say any guest, give the man some lead. Anyway, the pride and joy of Alton, Illinois. And as Danica can tell you, back home in Alton, they call him White Lightning. Give yourself a raise. Take it out of petty cash. See you tomorrow, everybody.
Hey, and remember, you can download previous Ben Jarofsky shows and Benny J bonus interviews at both Chicago Sun-Times and Chicago Reader websites and wherever else you download your favorite podcast. Be sure to check out our brand new podcast that we call Beyond the Column, where we take a deep dive in Ben Jarofsky's latest column all about Michael Bloomberg and learn about a column from Ben Jarofsky past. Hey, downloaders, you know we live stream this show, right? It's true. Tuesdays through Fridays, 1 until 3 p.m. Central Time at both Chicago Sun-Times and Chicago Reader websites and the Chicago Sun-Times YouTube channel. When you join us on the Sun-Times YouTube channel, you can check out the live stream chat. Join it. Hang out with Jay Marie, Kyle, Brianna, Steve. Wait, where's Steven been? Steven, are you listening? Join them all. We'll see you tomorrow.
Big problems become big problems when you let small problems sit.
That's correct.